Talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, it's another week of Comics Talk Comedy. We have Jesse here,
hey,
and Jess is here. We're all ready to go.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Yeah, I was a little worried. Old Wade told me they were going to be jackhammering in the front.
That's true.
I guess that didn't happen.
It'll be a loud show today. But
he said it got rained out, but it's not raining
no.
at all.
So. Well, you know. That's confusing.
Yes.
But it's good to be here, man.
Yeah, and, it's nice to see you. I missed you on Thursday.
Yeah, I guess I got there right after your set at the store.
Yeah. Did you do any shows this week?
I did a couple shows. Tuesday I hosted trivia, then Wednesday.
How's that been going?
That's been up and down. You know, I think it's fun. I mean, I love hosting it. It's a lot of fun. It's better when there's more people,
right.
But even when there's just a few, it's kind of like stand-up. Like, if there's just a few, I riff more, I play around more.
Mm-hmm.
If there's more people, you have to stay more on track and do more trivia. So
I've guest hosted
it,
a few times.
They you had people motorboating and stuff.
Yeah, I got to motorboat.
Crazy talk. You were motorboating chicks?
Yeah.
I still hear stories about that. Yeah. That one time when you weren't here.
Yeah.
Damn it.
But they are sticklers for pronouncing words correctly.
They really are.
And I'm not very smart. Although I took some spelling test at some online thing, and I got all of them right. Like, you had to say, like, how do you spell these particular words?
Okay.
And I got an A+.
That's good.
But I wouldn't say I'm that intelligent.
They're very much sticklers, though, for that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, but after, over years of doing it, you get some of the pronunciation on some words, you know. Or I'll just check with Jose.
Yeah.
And I'll just be like, how do you say that? Well, he's older than me. He's smarter than me. So, yeah.
Right.
For sure.
And Don Garnett, people like him.
Yeah. Don Garnett. But, so that was that. And Wednesday I taught the class. We're teaching two classes. We had too many students this time. So we have a Saturday and a Wednesday class.
Okay.
And I love that. You know, they're brand new, you know, people that have never done comedy. And that's always kind of exciting.
Right.
All different walks of life, which is also weird. A lot of bucket list people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw Brian Simpson headline the Palace show that night on Wednesday.
He did well.
I thought he's terrific. Yeah. I love that. Thursday was the store, which was an interesting show. I thought, like,
I just noticed that you posted in the comedian's page what Gordon said to you.
Well, it was like amazing. You know, it was like it was a real up and down show, and sort of a bunch of people in a row were like really struggling, and were kind of like, why? What happened to this crowd? You know, and I was like, Gordon, you got to get him back. And he's it was tough, and he. As I go up, you know, he's bringing me up.
Was he doing crowd work at all? Because he always does well when...
A little bit, but it was more like asking them what their problem was, and then so then when I'm coming up and he's giving me the mic, he's just like leans into me, don't even try. I was like, thanks, okay.
All right.
So
you said you had a fun time.
Yeah, it was really, really fun. I did new stuff. So it was like anytime you do all new material, you're a little bit more revitalized about it, and so I think that was good.
Yeah, it was weird because I hadn't gone up in the store for a couple of weeks because I've been working nights.
Yeah.
But Jake Ditcheroon went before me and it seemed like he did all right. And I went up and I was a little shaky at start just because it'd been a little rusty. I did Winston's, but I haven't been doing it as much. So I didn't really know what I wanted to get into. And then I went into some old joke about how ramen noodles now proclaims to be trans fat free. Like, who the hell's eating ramen noodles, like, watching their weight?
Worried about the trans fat.
Yeah. So then just some girl just yells out college, like, randomly. So after that, it was just, like, riffing with her about, like, ramen noodles and got into dick pics. And I had a funny riff where I asked her how many dick pics she had in her phone. She said, probably three.
Probably three.
Like, how do you not know? Like three is not a high number.
It doesn't have a real specific tally.
If it was, like, probably 25, then okay. But probably three.
Probably three.
I think.
Give or take a ball or two.
Yeah. So that was fun. And I got into a riff that I have, like, probably three tits fixed in my phone.
Probably three boobs in there.
Yeah, I photoshopped one out or something. So that was fun.
I thought it was fun. It was just fun being back in the store because I hadn't been there in a couple months.
Right.
And like I always say it's my favorite because of the, like, just how small the room is. Like, it's dark and the the ceiling is low, and it just feels like you're really, it intensifies everything. So right. If you give them a little more energy, it like really carries.
Yeah, it's a good little show.
So it's really fun.
And then last night you were at the Madhouse, two shows, right?
Yeah, Madhouse featuring there. And they had me do 35 minutes, which is a little longer than normal for a feature. I normally am used to
headliner?
Like...
Who's the headliner?
It's Jeff Richards from SNL, Mad TV.
Yeah.
Which I worked with him before, and...
Did he ask for you?
No, he didn't ask for me. He had a guy he was bringing but couldn't go.
Okay.
So then last minute I got the spots. And it was really fun, actually.
Yeah.
I got a little drunk on the second show and I was much better. I like really loosened up. I think the crowd was a little better on the second show, too.
Really?
Although I think maybe, I don't know, it's hard to say. I had more fun, so.
Yeah.
But, you know, 35 minutes is really a long time for feature.
Yeah.
Normally, it's like 20 to 30 at the most.
Right. It's kind of what the headliner chooses.
Yeah, I guess so.
What you want to do.
We both kind of did about the same. He might have done five more minutes than me, but yeah, it was about the same.
Oh, I forgot I did the Mama's Kitchen show last Saturday.
Oh, how was that?
You were there.
Mama, oh, at the Palace.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was really funny, actually.
Yeah, and
nobody knew what was going on with the charity or, like, where any of the... And you were like, Mama's Kitchen people aren't even here.
Yeah.
That was super funny.
There was a guy asleep.
I think you did 3 jokes in a half an hour or whatever. Like, you riffed, like, the rest of it. It was really funny.
Yeah, it was... there was a woman that was wasted that was in the back.
Yeah.
Luckily, she
left.
There was
a dude asleep.
George sat a table of six for some reason that were there for the later show.
I watched him do it, too. It was pretty cool. Classic George move where he's like, the show's over in 5 minutes and you hadn't even gone up yet.
Yes.
And I'm like, that's not right. He's doing a half an hour and he hasn't even started. And you just told him, yeah, the show's over in five.
I'll give you the best seat in the house, buddy.
You know, from his perspective, though, there's like no other like six tops to seat. So I guess he's got to take what he can get. But
yeah, but be honest with him because it screws me up and it makes him look bad.
It was pretty funny, though, to watch.
So it was whatever. And then last night was Winston's. Turned out to be an all right show.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was a little slow. I got there earlier than I normally get there. I got there like 6:15. It was pretty dead at that point. But comics started to fill in. And the crowd, there was a guy, David Klein, that was in from San Francisco.
Is he a friend of yours?
He knew Tommy Broom.
Okay.
Do you remember that guy?
Yeah, sure.
He contacted me to come do the show. I guess he's got some screenwriters thing in L.A.
Okay.
So I think he might have been from here, or he has some family down here.
Okay.
So he had a decent amount, and then Nick was there. And I think Nick brought him up as David Swimmer or something. Not his last name.
He used the wrong name.
Yeah, he definitely used the wrong
accidentally,
name.
Accidentally, or?
He just didn't remember his last name.
Dan Bublitz last night presented me as the winner of 2004's Funniest Person contest.
Oh, nice.
And they said, 2014. And he also hosts San Diegans Tonight or something. I was like, Dan.
Wow. Prohaska did it over there. So who hosted? So Dan hosted?
Bublitz hosted.
And then who did the next one?
And then it was Damien.
Okay.
And,
so Damien did 15?
Damien did 10.
Okay.
Yeah, Bublitz did 5, Damien did 10, I did 35, and then he did like 35 or 40.
Okay.
Yeah.
How'd Damien do?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's good.
Good.
You there tonight too?
Yeah, I'm there tonight. I don't know who else is there. I don't think any of those guys are there except for Jeff. So.
Okay. Well, that'd be fun.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah, I did my, I just did basically stuff that I knew was going to work last night, just because they were all to see that one guy.
Uh-huh.
So, like, I knew if I would have just didn't bring it, they would have been, they would have checked
attention.
Out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I had a guy after, so I did the horse racing bit, and the guy come up to me after, he was like, I had to call my girlfriend right after that joke because it was so funny,
that's
but
awesome.
She didn't get it.
She didn't get it. No, because she wasn't here.
Yeah.
She didn't see it, dummy.
He was like, yeah, it doesn't translate over the phone, I guess.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
And you said Ula was there and Bandic, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
Ula
didn't go up. Bandic went up.
It's great seeing him at the store, too.
Yeah, he did well. So it was fun to see the old gang.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Ula was drinking rainbow drinks from all around the globe, it seemed like.
That's cool.
Chip was there. So Dan Venti was there. So it was the old group was there.
Sorry I missed that.
Yeah, it was fun. What a nice to have you. But before we go to break, we might as well bring in our guest for the day.
Yes.
Louis Valdivia. Right.
Yeah, how's it going?
Valdivia.
Exactly. That's what everybody says, like Activia. Like
nice.
That yogurt.
Have you had that yogurt? It gives you the shits.
No. I haven't had that yet.
Okay.
But,
what, didn't you used to have a joke about
yeah.
that?
Yeah, I forget what it was. It had to do with diarrhea. So.
And you called...
I think it was Jamie Lee Curtis.
Jamie Lee Curtis a dude, right?
Uh-huh. I think
so. Yeah, nice. So yeah. You've never had the yogurt, Luke?
Never had the yogurt, man. Never. But I'll try it, man. Now that, I don't know, if it gives you the shits, I'll give it a try.
That's not a good reason to try it. It gives you the runs? Awesome. We will run out and buy that.
Are you a big yogurt guy?
Nah, man.
No?
I don't like yogurt.
How about frozen yogurt? You like frozen?
Frozen yogurt's a different story. It's like...
That's
kind of like ice cream. Yeah. It's not like the nasty yogurt tube.
It's worth getting the runs for.
Yeah.
True.
So, any shows this week for you?
No. Next one's going to be in at the store. At the store with Dad Fan. It's on Father's Day.
Oh, very nice.
Are you a father?
Not a father.
Is Dad a father?
My dad?
No, Dad. I know your dad's a father. Is your father a father? I hope so. Fuck.
I don't know if Dad's a father. I'm not sure. I never seen any pictures.
They booked all single dudes with no kids for the Father's Day extravaganza.
Hopefully. Yeah. So do you do many open mics around town?
Not really, man. I haven't been to an open mic since the Comedy Palace days, you know, about 2 years ago when I first started. But,
oh, really?
I mean, I've wanted to, you know, but...
You're in the golden age now of the San Diego mics. Yeah, it's every night at the MH.
I see that.
How was that? Were there people there?
I was too drunk to tell you.
You Ubered it then?
I was with Bajan.
Oh, okay.
Bajan drove, and he had Tipsy Crow downtown, so he just came and hung out afterwards. Okay. He said it was real good at the Tipsy Crow, too.
Now
I was preparing for his hour, I guess, especially. He did an hour.
Doesn't he always do an hour?
He always does an hour. That's, I was like, that's nothing new. Yeah. He usually does a half an hour at the front and an hour at the end.
Yeah, so that's good.
Yeah.
So you just choose not to do the open mics?
You know, a lot of them are like 21 and up.
Oh, okay.
So like I have to wait outside and, you know, do that.
Oh, you're underage, are you? Yeah. How old are you?
21
okay.
In February, so.
What about, you could do Madhouse.
I can do Madhouse. I've actually done Madhouse once, you know, the alternate list. I made the alternate
list.
But it was pretty fun. I like the, because they always do it after the shows, you know.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good
crowd. It's a brand new thing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It starts at what, 12:30?
I have no idea. So late. But, you know, there's some people there still. So,
yeah.
Fully worth doing.
Is it?
I think so.
I'm not staying up till 12. I mean, maybe if I had another show, because, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking on my birthday, because I'm doing the 5 shows.
You should do that one,
I can
too.
Go back and do the Madhouse open mic to do 6.
Definitely should.
It'd be crazy. Hey, we got more with Louie coming back after the break. You're listening to WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in NF Talk. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we are back. Second segment already. So, Louie, you said you started over, you said 2 years ago?
It's actually going to be 2 years. You know, I'm not even sure, man. I started in 2013, July.
Okay.
I'm not good at math.
So it'll be 2 years in July. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go. Next month. So 2 years.
It's not really even math.
Yeah. Yeah, I started at the Palace. And I remember seeing you there, man, at the open mic. So I got like starstruck when you asked me to be here. I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
You want an autograph?
Starstruck.
Maybe after the show you can sign my Activia.
What got you on stage that first time?
I was always like the class clown, you know, always in school, you know, and...
Were you still in high school when you went up, or...?
It was a month after I graduated. Okay. It was the first time I ever went up, but I mean, I've been wanting to since the longest time, and it wasn't until I actually graduated where I actually started driving, you know, so I couldn't really go anywhere
mm-hmm.
in the past, so when I got my car, that's when I started going everywhere, you know, and the comedy club was definitely one of the stops where I wanted to go, so...
Okay.
I found the open mic, and the first one that came up was the Comedy Palace on Monday nights, and I went, and... First time I went up, I loved it, man.
So you didn't watch a show before? You didn't? You just?
I've been to comedy shows before. You know, that's where I kind of fell in love with it when I saw it live. You know.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
who were some people that you liked growing up?
Definitely like George Lopez.
Okay.
Gabriel Iglesias, those people, and then you know, some of the smaller comics around town also that I've seen. You know, kind of got me inspired to go up. And it was fun. The first time was fun. And
small, like...
Oh, yeah, like small little crowd.
Like
and
Dave Wright, or like small...
I met Dave Wright a couple weeks ago. He's a cool guy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like those type of people, you know, kind of the local comics.
Shorter guys.
Right. Do you remember what you talked about the first time?
The first thing I ever said on stage was pretty stupid. I went up, and for some reason I thought it was funny. I was like, my name is Louis. I'm brown. I'm brown like shit. And that's exactly what I heard from the back of the comedy club. I heard nobody laughed, and I just kept going.
Did you run that material with anyone before you said it into a mic? No.
I thought that was hilarious at the time, man. Right out of high school, man. I said, I'm brown like shit.
Are you still open with that?
No, man. No? It was the last time I did that.
You're kind of more beige, I would think. Like, those are light-colored shits. You might want to get that checked out.
I'll eat some more Activia, bro.
Yeah, exactly. What is this tattoo, by the way? You have a hand tattoo, which is rare.
Yeah, man.
Because I don't see any other tattoos on you except for your hand.
It's got a Casper one.
Okay, that looked like a hand stamp. I didn't know what that was. What does this say?
This one says, laughter is the best medicine. It's my job to find the sick.
That's cool.
Yeah,
look at
that.
Did you get that after you started doing comedy?
Yeah, I got it like a couple of months ago.
Did that hurt?
It hurt really bad.
It does look like it would hurt.
He even warned me. He was like, you sure you want to do this on your hand? You know, it's your first tattoo. I'm like, yeah, why not?
Wow,
I thought it looked pretty cool.
First tattoo right on the hand.
Yeah, I thought it looked pretty cool, like holding the microphone, but then he did it backwards, so now like people were like, you know, they can't read it while I'm on stage. I mean.
You got to give him one of these.
Yeah, I'm going to start holding the mic upside down or something.
Or use your other hand and just hold your other hand out like Black Power or reverse Black Power the entire time.
Yes. Brown power.
Brown power.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
What did your parents think of that tattoo?
Oh, they hated it, man.
I bet, yeah.
They hated it, but I mean, it's a tattoo. You can't really do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, you know, certain, you know, that shit they do, but I'm not doing that.
Wear gloves.
Or gloves, yeah. I'd work security, man, and they'd made me put gloves on even on the hottest day, man.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. It's like, it's hard to work when you have the hand tattoo. Yeah. If you had it up here, you could wear a sleeve and cover it. But now
we could do like Will F. You Pay Me and just wear batting gloves.
Totally.
That's one way to do it.
Yeah. Or, and if you get face tattoos, then you can wear the mask that Will wears too. And you can get the whole ensemble going.
Well, I was watching Howard Stern, and 50 Cent actually got all of his tattoos laser removed off.
You're kidding me.
No.
No.
Because he was annoyed because he would have to go in, like they'd have a 6 a.m. call time or whatever, and he'd have to go in at like 3 a.m. so he can get all the, get the makeup to cover all the tattoos.
For what kind of thing? For movies and
for
things?
For movies and whatnot.
Oh.
So like
because they don't want any of those tattoos in the movies?
I guess. So yeah, he got them all lasered off.
Wow.
So. It's never too late. You can get it lasered off.
Nah, man. I feel like if you get a tattoo, it should be like symbolic to you. You know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of symbolic to me, but...
What does Casper symbolize?
The Casper, you know, my family used to call me Casper when I was little, and then, you know, $13 tattoos on Black Friday. I'm like, oh, they got Casper. Oh, I'll get it, but...
Good deal.
I mean...
$13?
Yeah.
Is that TJ?
Cheap.
It looks $13, and it's fading.
Is that in jail? Do you get that?
No, I got this in Lemon Grove.
Like jail.
Yeah,
kind of like jail.
Pretty much.
Jail's minus the bar. Yeah.
Is that the only two tattoos you have?
Yeah. For now.
Just focusing on that one appendage so far, and then maybe you'll spread it.
Yeah.
Is your plan to get the entire covered, your whole body covered?
Not my whole body. Maybe just the arms.
Just the
rest. Let's see what happens.
Okay.
You know?
Get that microphone like LL Cool J on the floor.
That's what I was thinking. You know, I was thinking of getting a microphone here, and then I was talking about getting one on my finger, and then my cousin's like, you can have a whole handful of microphones, bro. So I'm like, nah, yeah, you're right. So I don't know what I'm going to get now, man.
That's funny. So you started at the Palace.
Yeah.
You know, we don't hear that very often. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
That when you started, that was, how many open mics? It's just 2 years ago, there was Palace, Store, Winston's, right?
Pretty much. Lestat's. Lestat's been around a while.
Oh, yeah. Well, shit, how long is Madhouse and ACC now? God, it's a couple years now, actually.
Yeah, three. Both of them have been there 3 years.
Yeah, so it's funny coming up in that era of having so many mics to hit, huh?
Yeah.
So
exactly.
We did a show together recently, a bar show together, Louis and I.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We did one of his, remember we did a tandem one where Louis was on.
Was it at Twigs?
That was at the Palace.
At the Palace.
Oh, was at the Palace.
I went on after you guys, I remember that.
Oh, really?
We needed to go somewhere, and
uh-huh.
That was a pretty fun show. That's when I first met Jesse, and then I knew you from,
uh-huh.
from the mics, but it was
we
a pretty fun show.
We went up at the same time?
Yeah. You guys
that was the one
time.
That Brandon was on the show, and we did the Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior, and you ran around with your hair.
That's right, and I was winded for about 5 minutes afterwards. Yeah.
I had to carry it for a little while.
That was funny. That was funny.
Yeah, that was probably over a year ago.
That was a while ago.
Yeah. But yeah, you two did a show with...
We did a show at Westies in Point Loma.
Opposite results, I would say.
Yeah, we had the exact opposite experience.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, I thought it was fun for him. And then, you know, I guess you didn't get paid. And then there was a whole blow up on Facebook about it. My question is, how much do you think you should have gotten paid for a guest spot? That's where my question is. What did you think?
For me, the whole thing was, she told me she was going to pay me. Mm-hmm. I didn't really care about the money at that point. You know, if she said she's going to do something, she should have done it. she should at least stepped up and been like, all right, it was my mistake, it was a misunderstanding. But even that, she was, you know, she kept going, you know.
She was at Winston's last night.
Right. Yeah. Scouting.
She seemed nice.
She's nice. Jump on that. Man. That's a gig, man.
She seems nice, bro. I mean, all you got to do is Google her, man. You'll see everything about her, man.
All I need to know is she paid me.
She paid
more than usual. I think she paid me his money.
Yeah. Didn't she say you deserved more and Louis deserved less?
That's what No, she didn't say that. She didn't say that, but
Louis should have paid to be on this show.
Yeah, right.
How did
I mean, because most guest spots, you don't get paid anything. So I'm thinking, like, maybe she would have given you $5-$10. And I guess my question is, was it worth that much of a flap over that small amount of money?
Probably not, but I mean, like I said, I just didn't care about that money at that point. Even an apology would have ended all of that.
It was the principle of it for you?
Yeah, just like the fact that she's done that twice to me now.
Yeah.
And
how do you think other bookers are going to feel when they see that kind of thing? Do you think that is going to help you get gigs or hurt you get more gigs in the future?
Like all that happened on that Facebook? To be honest, I feel like it was more of a warning to other people.
Other comedians?
I'm not the type of person to trip over money like that. Like, to be honest, I don't care about the money.
I get that it wasn't the money, yeah.
But I mean, like, as for that, like, the question, I mean, I don't think so, you know. I feel like if you are a good comedian, you could prove yourself on stage. It really doesn't matter about all the stuff that you did with other people.
But bookers might be afraid if they think things are going to go awry that you're going to embarrass them publicly like that. You know what I mean?
I mean, as long as they, I guess, treat you right, I mean, you don't have to worry about that, you know. If they say you're going to do something, get it done, and then even if it's not, you know, at least say that you were wrong. Like,
well, let's talk to Jeff, being a booker of a show. What's your impression of that?
Well, to be honest, at this point, I don't even tell people that I pay them, just because I do pay the headliners. I've only not paid a headliner one time
in
my
several years,
5.5 years of doing it. The main reason I didn't pay him is because he used the C word about 15 times during the crowd.
And he walked almost everyone.
He walked almost everyone. Tara wanted me to get him off the stage.
I remember.
And
was an exceptionally bad set.
Right. And when he came up to me to get money, which wasn't very much because it was slow. Anyways, and he walked most of the people.
Yeah.
I go, well, you walked half the crowd. What do you think you deserve to get paid? To that point, he goes, oh, as if you haven't walked crowds before, as if you hadn't upset people. And to that point, I said, you know what? I'm not going to pay you.
Yeah.
And it would.
Well, I do think, you know, part of it is you're supposed to do your job, you know, and if he failed in his job, you know, is he due money? I don't think so.
Right. At the same time, it's the same thing. It wasn't about the money for me, per se, because it would have been 10 bucks. You know,
but he could have just had a bad set, and you still would pay him. But to do what he did, I think was the way he was so unprofessional about it afterwards, and got so personal about things. And also, I think just being that abrasive to the audience, where he's really doing the opposite of his job, the opposite. He's just antagonizing everyone.
And at that point in my head, I was like, I don't want this person to come back here.
Right.
So if he wants to give me the bad press, I don't care. Because I've paid every single person in the 5 years I've been doing this.
Right.
So if you want to try to give me bad press, it's fine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But in his situation, what's your take on how that went down?
If she said she was going to pay him, and I mean, did you watch his set?
No, but I got there late, so I didn't see everybody's set.
Right. Okay, well.
But it was a bar show, and you can only expect to do so well in any bar show anyway. But you're right. I guess if they say they're going to pay you, they're going to, you know.
Right. But at the same time, did you walk anybody?
Did I what?
Did anyone leave during your set? Was anyone upset?
No, you had a good set, right?
I had a pretty really good set. Yeah. But I mean, it's in the past now, you know, whatever.
No, but it's just.
If you say you're going to do something, do it, and I'll do my part, you do your part, you know?
Right.
I still think sometimes you handle that stuff privately, you know, because you want to preserve your own good image, too.
Yeah.
As much as you're trying to warn people about her, it's like, make sure you look like a pro. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going back. We got more with WSRadio.com. The world of the internet. Talk. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Bye.
Talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we are back. Third segment. So you said on Father's Day you're doing a show at the Comedy Store. How'd you get involved with that show?
Dad actually...
with that show. he's a fan.
Yeah. Maria Herman set me up with him. So I've been working with him.
Australian comedian Maria Herman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you've done
an excellent guest we had on the show, by the way.
Yeah, you liked that one.
I thought it was a great show. Her and Suze. And I think we did our Tony Calabresi impression a few times.
I wasn't involved.
Oh, I'm,
so
I'd
Tony's
like to blame
taking
you.
Peeping out.
I know. I'm hoping
it's you.
He blames
so
me.
You've done other shows with Dad?
Yeah, I've done one at the Dragon's Den a couple
months
ago.
Oh, that's
ago.
The show that he took from Chip Nicholson, right?
I don't know.
Yeah. Which I think is so funny.
So hilarious.
How'd that show go?
Yeah, how was that?
It was pretty good. You know, it was a full crowd, but it was a little noisy, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Were they not there for the show?
Who?
The crowd?
Oh, they were there, but it was just like noisy because it's a restaurant next, like, mm-hmm. It's connected, so it's like a lot of noise going on.
Okay.
They didn't turn the volume down on the music playing for a while, so we were going up there and the music was on. It was really distracting.
Yeah.
I mean, it was still a
fun
show.
It's in like a sushi bar and then there's no stage and lights or anything, so you got all that like bar show stuff against you.
Like
on
a briefcase, like the stage. Mm.
Even have that now? Because when I did it, there was nothing, so. Mm-hmm. At least they got a briefcase.
Yeah, moving up. While
moving up
dad
in the
fan does the show.
Yeah, Dad's like, hey, we can't do this without a briefcase.
Did you have to take a class with him to do
a
the
seminar
show?
Or anything?
No. Huh. Does he hound you to make see how many people you have?
No. Just sell tickets and then get to the show.
Okay.
So he does ask you to sell some tickets, right?
Just a couple.
Yeah, just a couple.
Just a couple.
If you don't sell them, do you buy them yourself like Jonathan Bird?
No, I don't do that.
Did you hear Jonathan Bird's podcast where he said he's sunk thousands of dollars into the Rick Martinez?
He spent $13,000 on comedy.
$13,000 poured into Rick Martinez.
Yes.
Can you believe that?
It's a lot of money.
He would buy the tickets himself and then not sell them or give them away. Did you ever do that?
Not with Rick, man. Rick.
Not with Rick, but...
No, I've never done that.
Good.
With Rick... It was a different story. If you didn't sell tickets, he'd make you drive wherever. And even if, you know, it was in L.A., he would say no. He wouldn't let you.
He wouldn't tell you until you got up there?
Yep. So,
and that happened to you?
You
not to me,
with
two other people
oh,
that
okay.
I know, but never to me. I've sold the tickets with Rick, and I've gone up, but kind of...
Do you have trouble selling those tickets? Who do you sell the tickets to? You sell them to your family?
I used to sell them to family, bro, but, I mean, what happens when you sell them to family? They kind of get, you know, kind of sick of seeing you, you know? So, I mean, I just get to sell them to the... To the co-workers or whoever comes into that. I work at a fast food restaurant. There's people that come.
Okay. What restaurant do you work at?
I work at the kebab shop in downtown. So.
Okay.
Yeah, so I get a lot of people coming in there, and, you know, I'll put a...
You stick one of those tickets right on the kebab.
You're like, right.
Chicken, onion, ticket, onion.
Yeah, choke on that shit.
Kebab shop.
Yeah.
Never heard of
it. There's one next to Winston's. You know that kebab shop right there?
That place seems to be doing bad.
Yeah, it does. Listen.
In Ocean Beach?
Yeah.
There's not one in Ocean. That's another kebab shop.
It's a different one. How's yours? Is yours doing
ours
well?
Ours is pretty good. Yeah, we have three or some shit. I don't know. We're doing pretty good.
Okay.
Is that family owned?
I think so. I know the owner. I don't know if he has a family, but...
If you find out, maybe you can sell him some tickets.
How long have you been working there?
I've been there about 2 months now.
Okay.
Recent.
Do you get a good deal on kebabs?
Yeah, I get free kebabs, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Do they make you cover your hand when you're serving kebabs?
Nah, they make me cook my own kebab, though.
They make you?
Yeah. No, they don't make me... I mean, we wear gloves, but they're see-through.
Okay.
So that doesn't really matter. Nobody
they're
really
okay
cares about the tab.
Uh-huh.
I get compliments on the register, so...
Oh, okay.
What does that mean? And I have to explain it during the rush.
And then you backhand them with
the
hand.
It
means you're sick, and then... I got you.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
So what's the goal for you now? Do you have any plans to move anywhere?
I was planning on moving to Los Angeles in July, but I'm just not ready, you know. Not ready financially. I'm not ready just at all, you know. Maybe before I'm 21, I eventually want to move.
Uh-huh. But you were going to move there for comedy?
Yeah, I was going to go up there. I was
for condoms?
For condoms?
Yeah.
You're moving
condoms.
There? Hand condoms? Is that what you're trying to buy?
To cover up my tattoo.
That's good. That's a good goal.
I was trying to move up there with one of my cousins, but she's going to go up there with college, and she's going to move with her boyfriend. I'm just not ready, you know?
Yeah,
I'm not
gross.
Ready financially.
You don't want to be involved with that.
I don't want to be involved in that at all, man.
Got to save your kebab money.
Yeah,
right? Yeah that's what I'm trying to do right now.
So that's the plan to eventually move up to L.A.?
Mm-hmm. You could try to work at one of the clubs up there, or are you going to try to, are you going to act? You're going to do
there's
commercials?
There's a lot of opportunity up there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people up there. I know Have you seen End of Watch? The movie End of Watch?
No.
The cop movie. Well, anyway, there's an actor in there, and he's been really helping me out a lot.
Awesome.
You know? He's the one that gave me the idea.
Is it Jake Gyllenhaal? Is he in that
movie?
No.
It's one of the extra actors.
Okay.
He's getting pretty good now.
Okay. He's a comedian?
No, he's David Fernandez Jr. He's an actor and producer. He's a director. He's doing really good
okay.
for himself.
He's going to cast you in some stuff.
Yeah,
maybe?
Hopefully, man. Beautiful. Yeah, but he's keeping contact with me, man. So he's helping me out. He's giving me the ideas. And,
okay.
And, you know, hopefully something happens, man, because I don't want to be working at the kebab shop forever.
Right.
You know?
So yeah.
I thought of that. Like, where would I be in 10, 15 years if I'm still there, you know?
Right.
I feel like, you know, I saw a very inspirational video of Jim Carrey, and he said, you could fail at doing something you don't like, so why not take a chance on doing something that you love, you
good
know?
Good point.
So
yeah.
That's what I want to do, man. I mean, I don't care what people say about me or anything like that. I'm going to do me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to make or break my career, so I have a very strong future that I have in mind for me, you know?
That's good.
I have high hopes. And
got to be confident.
I hope
in yourself.
There, man.
Yeah, man.
I really do, man.
That's
so
awesome.
I hope
And you're young. I mean, you're only 21. 20? You're 20.
21.
I mean, you
in
got
February.
The, got at least your whole 6 months ahead of you.
Yeah,
it's
man.
Really...
yeah.
I mean, what's a normal week for you? Because it doesn't seem like you're doing very many open mics. Are you just trying to book shows?
Right now, the big thing is I'm trying to just work right now, just save up money, and then if I get shows in between, you know, I'll do them. But right now, I'm just trying to write a little bit because I'm still stuck on the old material, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to write more and more, and eventually I'll get to the open mics, you know, now that Madhouse is doing it every
yeah.
night. That's pretty cool, you know. Even if there's nobody there, you know, just stick at the feel for it, you
mm-hmm.
know. It doesn't matter. I don't care about that as long as I get the feel for it, you know. But I mean...
What kind of material do you, like, what kind of stuff do you talk
for
about?
For me, I talk a lot about my family, you know.
Okay.
It's really relatable stuff to the point where people, I see them in the audience going like, oh, yeah, I've done that or I've, you know, shit like that. But real relatable stuff about my family.
Cool.
My family, my childhood, all of that.
Do you have siblings? Did you have?
Yeah, I have a little sister and a little brother.
Okay.
Yeah. So
nice.
They're.
You bring them into the act?
Yeah, yeah. Eventually, I don't have my sister in there yet, but.
How old are they?
My sister is turning 12 and my brother is turning 3.
Oh my gosh, they're real little. Yeah,
real little.
Okay.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Even my sister.
They're all over the board with that.
Yeah, my sister, she wanted to be a comedian for a while and then she kind of stepped away. But I mean, hopefully she gets back to that. She's a really funny
Does she have
young
a
lady.
Well, she's 12. She has some time.
Does she have a tattoo on her hand that says laughter is the best medicine?
Not
well?
Yet. Not
no?
yet.
That's how you indoctor into the comedian family.
You got to be 18 for that, I think.
Yeah. How did your family feel about when you started doing comedy?
I kind of jumped into it without telling everybody, and they just kind of saw a picture on Facebook of me on stage, and like, what's that about, you know? And they're like, well, that's cool, because, I mean, to be honest, bro, I've quit in everything I've done, you know, younger. Baseball, I didn't stick with it. Football, whatever, you know, I didn't go with it. And they thought I was going to quit comedy, man,
mm-hmm.
but they kind of saw that I was getting shows with different
Well, you can't
people.
Now because of the tattoo.
Yeah, exactly,
so
man.
Much
I can't get a good job.
Either that
it,
or die and become a ghost. That's
yeah.
your
exactly,
only two choices.
Yeah, man, they kind of, they support me now, you know, they like it.
Have they seen you do your skits?
Oh, yeah, my sketches. My dad goes to almost every one of my shows.
Oh, man. Really?
Yeah, he's always there, and then my mom.
Was he at the Westies one?
At Westies? No, thank God.
He's a thank God.
Oh, my dad would have beat her ass, dude.
Oh, no. I know, because he got into it on Facebook, too. His
yeah.
dad jumped into the fray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You will pay my son. I'm
yeah.
like, I'm ready
How
to
old
pay
is your
him
dad?
Right
my dad, he is turning...
26.
Jesus, he's in his mid-40s.
Oh, really? He seemed young. He seemed
yeah,
really young.
His next month.
He is young, actually,
yeah.
so...
Mid-40s,
mm-hmm.
yeah. That's
yeah.
interesting.
I don't know
he's
exactly.
a young man.
You don't know how old your dad is?
He's like 45, 46.
How old was he when he had you?
In 1970, that's when he was born.
All right, so 45.
45, yeah.
Young man.
It's a young man. Has he ever done comedy?
No, but he has a real good sense of humor, man. A lot of the style that he does, you know, I try to do. You know, that's where I learned it from.
Okay.
When I was growing up, I'd see him tell, like, his jokes that he heard from somewhere and how he'd act them out. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool, you know?
He would say his skin is brown as shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you guys grow up here in San Diego?
Yeah,
born and raised. Cool.
Uh-huh.
And have you ever been to L.A. or visited? Have
oh,
you
yeah,
done
I've
any
been
of the mics up
times.
There? Okay.
Yeah, I got to do flappers. That was
oh,
that's
cool.
pretty fun.
That's
flappers.
Fun.
Have you done flappers?
I haven't done flappers.
Yeah, it's small, right?
Yeah, it's a pretty small little room. It's pretty independent. It's pretty cool little room.
Yeah.
How'd you get that show?
Rick.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you worked with him when you were first starting out?
You got
yeah.
pulled into the Bringer world. Is that what
yeah,
happened?
That,
yeah,
that's what
you
happened.
You got pulled in, and you recognize that.
Yep. So the first person I ever worked with was with Rick. He's
okay.
the one that got me this first book show. him, and then Brandon Young is the one that kind of got me some shows also.
Oh,
Squeaky
Brando.
Comedy.
So you were clean.
Mm-hmm, for a little bit, and then
you got out of that.
Kind of got out of that, you know. It felt
so
like
you started off with the Spotless Productions.
Yeah, I that was actually my second book show. I did Rick, and then I did him. So.
Okay, well, that's both ends of the spectrum, really.
Yeah, no, that's one end.
Yeah,
Spotless to a lot of spots.
Yeah, so many spots.
Yeah.
So what do you think about bringer shows? I mean, now that you've done some, and you know, you probably can't ping on your family too much more. And
yeah, you're right.
So now you graduated out of being a bringer.
Yeah, I feel like they're just trying to take advantage of the New York comics, you know, because they don't really know the business and they don't know what's going on yet. You know, they're just excited to go up on stage, and they say, you know, I'll let you get some stage time if you bring some of your friends. And, you know, at that time, you're new. Everybody wants to see you.
Right.
So they'll think, okay, this person has people to bring.
It seems good for the comic at the time, right? Because you get a good crowd and you know, all that reception. But then I think it impedes your development because either family sees you too early. Yeah. In your stage, you know, you're not good yet, and then they're like, I don't want to come back later.
Exactly.
Well, that's like I had a post on Facebook a while back about, like, when you first start doing comedy, you film yourself all the time, your friends want to come see you, and then once you get good at it, you don't film yourself anymore, your friends don't want to see you,
yes.
And it's like, it's not like that with anything else, like medical school being like, Jeff's new in medicine, want to have him diagnosed you, you're like, no way, like 6 months later being like, is he still doing the same diagnosis, I don't think I want to try him now.
Is he still butchering those surgeries that badly?
Yeah.
So. I'm not going back to him.
All right, well, we got one more segment with Louie.
TalkTV.com.
Talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we are back, fourth segment already.
Yeah, flying through this interview.
I did think of one thing that I got from Thursday is the college girl that yelled at, I was like, what are you studying? She said, poli sci.
Mm-hmm.
And I know now that's political science, but at that time I was just like, is that like polyamorous couples that like science fiction, which I think is kind of funny.
And she's like, yes.
Yeah. If I would have stuck around, I probably would have been able to like hit on those people because they really like
those people.
Well, it was a whole group of like college
humans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I know I'm so bad at that stuff. I did a show with Jorge Mata, and he's very smart. He stands at the entrance. He gives a card to every single person. So I brought my stack of cards to try and do that, and then at the end of the night, I'm like, I'm not doing that.
Where,
at
the Madhouse?
Yeah, I just don't. I hate it. It's like, God, it's so
awkward.
That's
what I used to hate about the Palace, is that you should have that tip bucket.
Oh,
you'd
have
to just sit there and wait and get the tip money. And
that did suck, but at least there would be money at the end, and that made it a little better, you know?
Yeah, but at the same time, a lot of those shows are free. You could have just charged $5, and everyone would have paid $5, and I didn't have to look like an idiot.
Yeah, but we wouldn't have gotten any part of that $5, so you know, at least we got the tips.
Yeah, but yeah,
I wish they'd bring the tips back. I'll be honest with you, bring them back.
It was worth it.
Yeah, I need that money.
Need that kebab.
Need that sweet kebab money.
So Louis, so when do you think what will happen? Do you think, hey, now I'm ready to go to LA, or is it mostly just a monetary thing?
To be honest, I kind of just wanted to go just to see what was up there. You know, I had an opportunity to go, and I felt like if I didn't, that would be an opportunity lost. And I just wanted to go up there, see what was up, maybe hit some open mics. So to be honest, I don't know anything about comedy up there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've only been with, you know, at the Flappers and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I just want to get now that I have somebody up there, I'll be able to go up there more frequently, you know.
So you're gonna visit first before moving.
I'm gonna visit first, see if I like it. It's like I didn't want to like move with them, not make it work out, and then leave them with like an extra room or something. You
okay.
Know?
Mm-hmm.
So Dave Wright's moving up there. You guys could be roommates.
I've seen that. Yeah.
That'd be fun.
That'd be
hilarious.
That'd be an interesting couple.
I would love that.
I told Dave you should get a place with Taylor Tomlinson, but
oh my god, can you believe that? Clean and dirty, right?
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Match made in heaven.
Yeah, right. The phone's for you, Taylor. You'll love it when I hang up on you.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you plan, if you do move up there, to kind of do some more open mics?
Oh, yeah. I think that'll be the first thing I do is probably look for the open mics and just go hit them up, you know?
Okay.
See what happens in there.
Do you take time during the week to write, to try to work on
I try to kind of separate or make time in my day, you know, trying to just...
every day?
Sit down. I try to like write every day. Sometimes it's just bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, but I mean, an hour a day, just every day, so I can train myself to like make time for that, you know, just that writing, you know?
What's the longest time you've done?
Writing?
No, like on stage.
I have about 13 that I've been up there just because I had some crowd work going, you know?
Mm-hmm.
On top of my already set, you know, kind of stalled a little bit, but 13 minutes was my...
What would be the most... Biggest. What would you be comfortable doing? How much time?
Right, if they said, hey, you're featuring tonight.
Can you do 20?
I don't think I could do 20 yet. I mean, I have material, but I'm not too comfortable with it yet, just because I haven't tried it out. I mean, I have the time, but I'm not comfortable doing it yet, you know?
Yeah.
How much time are you doing on that show?
I think you give me like 10 minutes.
Oh, that's not bad.
I could do 15, you know? 15 is the most I'd go, because I could do 15... I've done it before, but...
I mean, the last time he did a Sunday show, he sold it out, but... Does that one still have tickets?
I'm not sure about that one. The one we're doing, there's still a couple of tickets left.
Okay. Yeah. Are you bringing your dad to that show for Father's Day?
Yeah.
Is that all you're giving him? Is your laughter?
He's buying his own ticket. That's what he's
doing. He's buying
his
own ticket.
That's his Father's Day present. Come see me.
And then if
Father's
dad doesn't
Day.
Pay you, you can have your dad freak out on
the ticket is a two-item minimum. That's his gift.
Man. So today you're wearing a hat. You wear a hat on stage?
Sometimes, you know, when I'm too lazy to do my hair or something, I'll just throw on a hat.
You ever wear a headband on stage?
Had never done it, man.
No.
That's two things I've never done. I've never tried Activia.
You mean like that Danielson headband? That sort of thing?
The one that Dad Fan wears.
Right,
headband.
He does.
Never?
He does.
Do you ever sweat on stage?
All the time, man. I get really sweaty. You know, my palms get sweaty. The microphone starts to slip.
Geez.
The tattoo starts washing off.
Yeah, man. That's another thing, man. I've tried to cover it up with makeup, you know, and then it would run down. Like, it would just be like...
Why did you try to cover it up?
I don't know, man. Like, I thought, who knows? Like, maybe it looked better without it. It didn't, because like it would like run down. It looked like a monster symbol, like the energy drink, and then people would like look at it all weird. I'm like, it just looks better without it. So
do you totally regret getting that tattoo?
Oh, not at all, man. It's meaningful, but I mean, probably not on my hand. I would have gotten it somewhere else, but I mean, it's done now.
That's
can't really
right.
do anything about it. The big E. He messed up on the E.
He did?
Yeah.
What was he saying?
You can see the little E in there.
Oh, I can't see that.
Oh, now you know. I shouldn't.
Were you on E when you got the tattoo?
No, man. I wish it would have made more sense, but I wasn't. It would have made a lot more sense.
Yeah. So we're getting up to the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
What's the worst show you've had so far?
The worst show I've done was probably a small little bar show, man. I'm not going to say which one, but it was a small little like box kind of shaped bar, and it was just the comedians. There was about four of us and like three people at the bar, and it was one of those rotating chairs where, you know, their back was to me, and they were talking to the bartender the whole time.
What part of San Diego was this in?
It was in Chula Vista.
Okay.
So it was there, and nobody listened to me. I didn't get any laughs, you know. The host introduced you, and then he...
Was it a comedy show?
Yeah, it was a comedy night. It was about 6-7 of us in there.
Okay.
Know, and nobody was really paying attention, you know. They would introduce you, and then they'd dismiss you after, and nobody would clap, and it'd just be awkward next person. You know?
Oh, that's brutal. So, nobody would even clap
nobody,
for you?
Man. No, they were all doing their own thing up the bar.
Give it up for this next guy, and it's just silence.
Yep, exactly. Nice. You could hear the air conditioner, and it's how bad it was.
Ooh,
that sounds,
that's
did
brutal.
Did you do that show again?
He runs that show.
I don't know. If they asked me to, I wouldn't mind it. But I mean,
did they pay you at least?
No, I put them on blast.
I put them on blast. So that was the worst.
That was the worst. You want to hear the best?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
The best was probably Ontario Improv. That was the first time I ever performed outside of San Diego.
Uh-huh.
And that was there with Adam Hunter. Adam Hunter, he was killing it. And it was a Halloween show. And everybody laughed at my jokes. I mean, it was beautiful.
That's
it was
great.
Everything worked.
It's a big room, right?
Oh, yeah, it was a big
hundreds
room.
Hundreds of people there?
It was pretty packed, and it was a pretty fun little show. I had my dad and three of my family members.
How'd you get on that show?
Awesome.
I was originally supposed to go up there with Rick, but I guess something happened, so I still went up there, you know.
Cool.
So I still got to be on the show.
You got to do
fun.
10 minutes or something?
Oh, that was when I first started. I only did like maybe 6.
Uh-huh.
It was still a really fun
but
show.
It was awesome.
That was like my 6 months in comedy.
Yeah.
So it was like really exciting for me, but it was really fun.
That's
man.
Probably
that's
the biggest
probably the
crowd.
One.
Biggest crowd you performed for too?
Yeah, at the time, yeah, for sure.
That's
the
awesome.
Biggest one I've done so far was probably the, I don't know if it's bigger, but the Comedy Store has been packed.
Uh-huh.
I've done that one. Faison Love was there.
Okay.
I remember that one, so That was a pretty good little
show. That's Big Worm?
Big Worm.
Big Worm.
Yeah, he was coming down to the store. He came a couple of times. He's a funny guy, but he was doing like 25 minutes, so
it was.
I'm not sad that he's not returning.
Oh, I got you.
But, yeah, Thursdays I try to go up early because you get those pop-ins.
Yeah,
you
I know. As soon as I saw that there was going to be Favorman popping in, I was like, damn it.
Yeah.
Because I knew he was going to do like 20 minutes right in the middle before I went up.
Is that what he did?
No, he did more like 12, actually.
Okay.
But it was just going so badly that it was felt like 20, you know? It was brutal.
One of those nights.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, we're coming up to the end. Do you have any questions for us? Comments?
Yeah, man. Was that thing about the woman with three tits, was that real?
I've been wondering that the whole time. Do you have a picture in your phone of the chick from Total Recall?
I do not. I only have black chicks in my phone. So. I think she was white, correct?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think she was brown.
Was she brown? Mm-hmm. Like the color of shit?
Yes.
Perfect. That's a good, insightful question that you brought to the table.
It is.
That was my only question.
Do you really have three tits in your phone? That's what.
Yes, I have multiple three tits.
Out of all the things you could have asked Jeff Bilodeau,
yeah,
you found the right one.
The perfect question.
Yeah.
Man loves tits.
The man who doesn't?
So where can they find you? On Facebook? On
Facebook, you just Louisville DB Comedy. You can do me on, you can't do me. You could find me. You can find me on Instagram, Funny Louisville DB. Twitter, TheFuzz_95.
The
pretty
fuzz.
Much all of them.
The
yeah.
Fuzz.
It's a high school thing.
Used to be in...
What do you mean that's a high school?
It was a football thing. It was just my nickname, but...
The Fuzz?
I couldn't change it on Twitter. So.
That sounds like a good stage name.
Yeah. How did you get The Fuzz?
I don't remember, dude.
I
don't remember.
Hey, well, thanks for joining us. WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in the internet, Fuzz.